Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 254, part 2, the conclusion to Wounded. Today is Sunday, August 12th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
And when death sweat is on you, instead of claiming all in an air-conditioned church, you'll need more than a physical handkerchief to wipe away the tears. Well, I hear someone asking another question. What is a wounded spirit? A wounded spirit who can bear? Well, it can't bear its own infirmity, so it becomes a load to itself. That's a loaded question. But the question is not what can it bear, but who can bear it? Well, answer the question, what is a wounded spirit? Well, I have known many who have talked about having a wounded spirit. But the wound has been, after all, a slight affair compared with the wounds I'm talking about. Maybe you've been disappointed in love. Oh, that's sad. But still, it is a trial that can be endured. See, we have no right to love the creature so much as to make it our God, our idol. Or maybe some are disappointed in the object of their ambition. And in consequence, they end up with wounded spirit. But I thought, who are you that you should not be disappointed? Oh, I'm so disappointed. I am really disappointed. I'm so disappointed in you. You have disappointed me. I'm so disappointed. Who are you that you should never be disappointed? Are you something special? Are we something special that we should never be disappointed? I am disappointed. I feel let down. Well, Rudy toot toot. Who are you that you feel like you should never ever be disappointed? I am disappointed. So what? You ever feel like that though? I have never been so disappointed in all my life. You go out to eat and it wasn't what you thought it was. I'm disappointed. Should everything be according to our plan? No, you're going to have to learn to take your knocks just like everybody else. Surely if the Lord were to deal with us according to our sins, then you would have something to bear far worse than your present disappointment. Sins we don't even know we're committing. Secret sins. God has a secret. And he keeps it a secret. We don't even know that we're committing them a lot of times. They're secret sins. And when someone says, no one has suffered as I have, no one was ever treated as I have been, well, we all feel that way once in a while, don't we? Don't we feel that way once in a while? God, nobody's been through this. I know it. Because they would just die. I mean, I could barely live myself, great as I am in the faith. Well, don't we feel that way sometimes? No one's ever been through this. No one's ever had this challenge before. What an infirmity. Sometimes when people are embarrassed, that's a big infirmity for them. They can't hardly live with it. When they botch something. Oh, I just can't face people anymore. It didn't come off right. Oh, there they are. I'm going to botch it at times. The world knows that. They say to err is human. Of course, we're above being human. That's for them. No, you're still human. You still have to put deodorant on just like the rest of the folks. People hate to think of that. Sometimes they have idols. They had Elvis for an idol. He's still an idol. I mean, if you told them that Elvis put on underarm deodorant, what? Elvis? Foot powder? Huh? I don't believe it. We're all weak. We all make mistakes. What's that? You won't make them if you depend on the Lord? You still make them. Just talking to someone on the radio, excuse me. I mean, what's your secret? Have you attained? Oh, I see. As you're using the scripture there. Well, I never thought of it that way. You're hidden in Christ and God. And you're no longer of this world. But let me tell you something. You're in it. You are in this world. And if I tried real hard, I could make you mad. What's that? Try? Well, you are a liar and a phony. Huh? Ooh. Yeah, the question is not what can it bear, but who can bear it?
But no one has suffered as I have. Honest to God, I just... This is the straw you were talking about, Pastor. It's breaking my back.
I think such statements are from pure ignorance. Total Ignoramuses talk like that. And I believe there are many that have gone through worse trials. Let's look at Jesus in Mark 5 and 36. But Jesus paid no attention to what they said. So don't allow such things to fret you and destroy your peace. Don't be like the Spartan boy who hid a fox in his shirt in school. And rather than expose it and have it taken away, he let it eat into his heart until it killed him. And I think there are some of us that let earthly objects become like foxes that destroy us. Rather than expose them or give them up. So let me say this for the melancholy, wounded hearts such as these. Much sin is mingled with sorrow and much pride and a lot of creature worship. And I see a lot of idolatry there. A woman once prophesied at a meeting, and verily I perceive that your children are idols. She didn't know when she said it that there was someone in the assembly there that had lost a little one some 4 or 5 years before and was still wearing black. She had never forgiven God for what he had done. And that kind of evil must be rebuked. Don't even comfort those whose spirits are wounded in this fashion. They even have now, they call grief groups, where they all get together and they grieve together. Month after month after month after month. And then, go ahead, let's hear the story again. Well, my son John was out. It was raining. He was walking the fence. They were out having a good, oh, how he loved to go hunting. And his father was back a ways, and they were walking, and that's when it happened. A gun accident. Oh, and I went for weeks and weeks and weeks with the shades drawn, and they go through the whole thing. I never talked to anyone. My house was a mess. And they go through the whole thing, and then the next, and then they go to the next person. Don't we do that sometimes with problems that are past? Sit down and hash them all over again. End up with a gut ache and a headache, and oh God, why'd I get into that again? Huh? Aren't we all guilty of that? Doesn't the Bible say, forgetting those things that are past, to press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ, and stop hashing over old hash? I mean, some things cooked over once taste better, but you try to cook them over and over and over again for years and years, man, I mean, you're going to get poisoned by it. Are you hearing this? Why is it we have to bring all this up and all of the character actors that are in it? Aren't we all guilty of that? Okay, let's line them all up. Now let's see what they do to us. And they line them all up. And there's that character. Ooh, there's the villain over there. Take five. Grind, roll. And they go through the whole rerun movie of the whole stinking thing. How about a new production? How about coming up with something new out of the ashes? How about forgetting that infirmity of the past and not carrying it along into the future? How about doing that? And so let's go on. Of course, there are some forms of a wounded spirit which are very serious. But yet they're still not what I'm going to talk about afterwards. Some have a wounded spirit through the cruelty of men. Slander and lies and sort of like cream pies thrown right in their face. Over and over and over again. Whap! And they no sooner get that cream pie off, and another one comes sailing their way. Some have a wounded spirit because of the unkindness of their children. Huh? Or the ingratitude of those they have helped after all I've done. Oh, this is the thanks I get. I think I'm going to write a poem called Mom. A mom is. Huh? I don't want to read it. And on Mother's Day, then they, you know, get all these cards and everything and get all melancholy and everything. Huh? This is my thanks. Thanksgiving Day. No one shows up. So I have to put that in my poem book of Mom. Do moms ever feel like that? Moms, are you in here? Do you ever feel like that? Where you're not appreciated for everything you do? You're not appreciated until after you die, don't you know that? Look at Van Gogh. It's after you go they appreciate you. You never miss it until it's gone. Right? Where are they when I need them? Where's that song? Where are you? Oh, now that I need you. Where are you? I need you so now. Huh? I'll stop. I'll get into a musical here. Huh? Hello, this is the principal. Again? Huh? Is that a wounded spirit? Or I think it's also a terrible wounding when he who should have been your friend becomes your foe. I don't know what to think of this. I mean, this was my best buddy. He called me friend. Is this the way a friend should treat a friend? Huh? I ask you. You're probably talking to somebody nastier than your friend. Come on now. Let me tell you, if you can find yourself two or three real truthful friends, even one that'll die for you. Well, yeah, of course, one that'll die for you. Well, you're flying home free. Just one. We have a hard time dying to ourselves. We want somebody else to die for us. Will you die for me? I just can't do it for myself. I can't quit these things. Do it for me. Huh? And yet, we're so egotistical that we want someone to die for us. Would you die for me? Would you? How much do you love me? Well, I'm sticking around, ain't I? That's true, hey. That should prove something. Look at these hatchets in the back of my head and down my back. Glory. Everybody has their Judas. And then again, it's hard to be a Judas, isn't it? It's not easy to bear misrepresentation. It's not easy to bear falsehood. To have your purest motives misjudged. And maybe you have people say, well, he's only self-seeking. When all you want to do, for the most part, is do good for others. Isn't that a very painful kind of a wounded spirit? But don't allow it to be carried too far. In other words, why should we cry to God to help us bear the trial? For after all, who are we that we should not be despised? Why do you? Why do you hate me so much? Huh? Who are you that you should have the luxury of never being despised? Who are we that we should never become against? How dare you come against me? My motives are pure and whole. I mean, how can we dare say, how dare them to do this to me? I think we should expect this kind of a trial. And in expecting it, we shouldn't be disappointed when it comes. Well, this was a surprise to me. You ever notice people when they are disgusted and they give the old elephant walk? Well, this is a surprise to me. I'll never forget this one. Huh? Well, I never. Am I getting to your radio audience? No, expect this kind of trial, and then in expecting it, we shouldn't be disappointed when it comes. The Bible says, in fact, rejoice. Rejoice when these things come your way. But then there's those that live and go through life hiding in the woodwork. Don't they? They make it through somehow. By hiding in the woodwork. What a boring existence. Hiding in the woodwork with your little fingers and nose over the edge. Kilroy was here. Do you want to hide in the woodwork? Huh? See, when we are vocal for Christ, I'm talking about up front, forward, in the light, behind the lines. Don't be brokenhearted if men try and wound your spirit. See, you are sort of a bullseye for the devil's dartboard. Bullseye! Your face is right in the middle of the bullseye. The fiery darts of the devil can find you because you're right in the middle of things. See, if you hide in a woodwork, you don't have to worry about any of those things. And just sort of slither along the edges of the work so you don't get, you know, just sort of slither along, you know, in the shadows. Huh? Sneak through life, see? Oh, God, just sneak through life. Oh, huh? And just sort of sneak around and sneak through life. Huh? Now, see, when you get up front and you're out there in the middle of the thing, that's when you're a target. We're so afraid to make ourselves a target. I didn't ask for this. Well, you're going to get it anyway.
What did I do to deserve this? After all I've done, years and years of toil. The Bible says, rejoice. Why not? You just want to lay down and die? Want to play the part of the martyr? But you know, because I have had so much said about myself, I could really care less about what men could really say in the future. What's left? Oh, I shouldn't say that. I promised myself, and I promised Mick, I said, you know, Mick, I'm never going to say what next. No, I'll rephrase that, Mickle. I'll just say, next! I'm not going to ask what next. I'm going to say, next! Come on! Have at it! Well, it might be something good. They might miss with a cream pie. Maybe I'll get better. See, when once we get used to that kind of treatment, and you may as well do so, because you're going to have plenty of it. Everybody. There are forerunners, and there are people that God burdens with all kinds of things and gives them grace to go through as an encouragement about what is coming down the line for others. Oh, garsh. Whoa, glory to having gone through gives you the experience and the grace and the knowledge to tell others, hey, you can do it. All things are possible through Christ. See, then it won't trouble you. And you will be able to bear your infirmity without being much wounded by the unkindnesses of men. But some have also been grievously wounded by sorrow. They have had affliction after affliction after affliction, and they have had loss after loss after loss. They have had one bereavement after the next. And we ought to feel these things. Because you see, it is by feeling them that we get the good out of them. I mean, you spank a kid with a feather, what good is it? What lesson is learned? Every lesson, you can learn something out of everything. Paul says, I have learned to be content whatsoever state I'm in. And he wasn't talking about the United States. He was talking about the state I'm in. The state of my affairs, rich or poor. I've learned to be content. Learn that. And still we should cry out to God for strength. And you know, if we are submissive to the rod of correction as far as temptation goes, it will soon come off our backs. See, if we yield to temptation and then complain to God for allowing it, the Bible says you're only kicking against the pricks. And we only wound ourselves all the more. Now accept it. And then you listening, some of you are wounded, no doubt, for sicknesses. Maybe a nervous condition. Well, I can certainly relate with that. I remember in my drinking and in my pill days where I had terrible nervousness Have you ever had that where you're just terribly nervous? Ooh. Grit your teeth, fingernails on the blackboard, nervous. You know what I mean? Nervous. Nervous! How many understand what I'm trying to get across here? I mean, nerves. Everything gets on your nerves. Oh, you know you can't say a word to her and she blows up. Well, you saying that won't help her any either. And some can't take too much noise. Or some are depressed. Don't encourage it. And don't be too coarse either. But now, let me close here. All of what I've said has led us to a wounded spirit who can bear. And this kind of spirit is the one I'm going to talk about in finality here. It's when the soul is under deep, terrible sense of sin. When conviction flashes through the mind like heat lightning over and over and over again. And the man says, I'm guilty, and when guilty takes on the meaning. When we realize our lostness, when we realize God's anger, a man in such a condition can't be consoled. You can pipe, but he will not dance. You can try to amuse him, but he will not be amused. You can try to charm him, but he'll not be charmed. You can try to compliment him, but he'll not be complimented. A wounded spirit, who can bear? You'd rather die. You'd rather hide yourself in the dust. Sometimes the spirit is wounded by fierce temptations from Satan. Some will know what I'm talking about. Satan tempts them to doubt or to sin or to blasphemy. Some of the finest people go from morning until night with Satan making vile suggestions to them. Are you hearing this? They are tempted to curse God and die, and that temptation brings a wounded spirit, such as they can scarcely bear. Who can bear it? God save you from it. If you've fallen under that terrible power. A wounded spirit may come through a temporary desertion by God, and he hides his face from you. And then some of God's children have a wounded spirit entirely through a mistake. Maybe they've gotten into a ministry where they are floating around in hot air balloons, and they take and wrestle the scriptures and make them means something totally different than what they really mean. If you ever hear me talk about what a wonderful fellow I'm getting to be, put me in the insane ward. I'm nothing. I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. Well, then how do we avoid a wounded spirit so far as is evil? Never offer up your conscience. Be true to your understanding as to God's word. Also have a clear view of the gospel message. So many Christians have not seen the gospel message in a whole wide open eye perspective. They don't know the difference between law and grace and works and grace, and they don't understand that God will never leave and never forsake, and they live in a type of hell. You just can't explain it to folks. It's a real hell and a bondage. I think then stay close to God, because the sheep that are bitten by the wolf have strayed. I think we need to know the gospel in entirety. Once that I have you, I will never leave you. No, I will never, even if you have to come 70 times 7, even if you are without a plea, his blood was shed for you. Have you heard this message today? Let me read something in closing here from Psalm 77. Well, the whole Psalm of 77, I won't read it all, but 1 through 3, we find a troubled man. You read it yourself when you get home. And verses 4 through 9, he's arguing with himself. How many have done that? I do it. But then verses 10 through 15, he goes Godward. He starts remembering. And listen to what he says in Psalm 77 and 10. I like this. And I said, this is my infirmity. This is my infirmity. Now he has won the day and he talks reasonably. He surveys the field with a cooler mind. He confesses that unbelief is an infirmity, a weakness, a folly, a sin. I will bear it without complaint. And when we perceive that our affliction is meted out by the Lord and is ordained, and I know this is not popular preaching, is our ordained portion of our cup, I believe we become reconciled to it and no longer rebel against the most inevitable. And if it's the Lord's will, why shouldn't we be content? And then he says, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Oh my God, memory is a fit handmaid for faith. Remember through all the things that God has taken you through, and it will build your faith for the oncoming battles that you're going to see every day in your life, and just take them one day at a time. One day at a time. 1 minute at a time. Don't pile up infirmities and carry them around on your back. A bag of woe. Pack up all your woe and go. And I'll lay them down at the foot of the cross and go on. Pick up a cross at the cross and bear a cross. Bear one another's burdens. And that's what the whole thing is all about. Don't be a mental out there. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. That'll make you mental, won't it? So many preachers, they get up and they're afraid of making error. They're making a mistake. They're bound and legal and so on like that. And it's a terrible pressure to keep up that type of holiness. Your holiness is in Jesus Christ. I mean, you cannot make yourself holy. How do you make yourself holy? I don't know. I don't think there is any way of making yourself holy. Al Capone could do it for you. But you can't make yourself holy. All you can do is trust in the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Just as I am without a plea, take me on. I haven't got nothing to offer but my body. Isn't that great that we have a Lord like that? We'll just take you just as you are. Oh, God. Hey. And so bear your infirmities and go on out there and, you know, they're challenging, and once in a while you have to be reminded that, of like Psalm 77, you have to be reminded of past victories. I remember those past things. Oh, remember this, remember that. How about remembering the, aren't we good at remembering the down things? And then, I got to tell you this one. I hate to talk about it. I bring it up all the time, but it's so deep with it. Get rid of it. Get rid of all those hoits that's there. Boy, was I hurted. Get rid of them. You can't even have a blessing when you're sitting there all hurt. Do you ever try to make a kid be happy when they're sitting there and they just don't want to be happy? Huh? You know how you can get them happy? Say, well, if you're so unhappy, let me help you. Give them a spanking, and they get happy. I'll give you something to be unhappy about. I'll give you something to pout and jump. My mother used to do that. And she'd try to, she'd get all, she was all jokey and slapping around. Come on, put them up and all this. And I, oh, no, I'm not going, no, don't try that on me. This, I ain't going to fall for it this time. Oh, all right, take down your pants and I'm going to give you 10. I'll give you something to bawl and cry and complain about. And she says, now, I don't want you to make one noise because you live in this little teeny apartment. I mean, you know. You walked in, it was bedtime. You dove in because it was wall-to-wall mattress. That's how small it was. And so then, you know, she gave me something to cry about. That chastisement, see, it does a lot for you. Sometimes when people feel like that, what they need is a good chastising when they're all mental. And then your kids are mental sometimes, aren't they? They just act like they're mental? No. Yes, they do, don't they? Didn't you act like you were mental when you were a kid? Look at the kids we have nowadays. Nowadays. They're no worse than the kids that were before. They have a shock of hair sticking straight up that looks like the Northern Lights. Huh? They're going to have kids someday, aren't they? They'll get theirs. Huh? They will. I used to comb my hair when I had hair. I used to comb it in this great big pompadour thing with all these waves. Then I had, I'd bring it up and I'd bring it this way. And then I'd put the comb down the middle and they called them ducktails. Huh? You know, did you comb your hair that way? Yeah, girls did too. And then the girl wore these long, their dad's shirt, white shirt. And then they rolled their pants up and they had bobby socks. Frank Sinatra days. And they'd say, oh, huh? But they're all going to have kids and themselves, and they're all going to have these infirmities, and they have to go through their thing too, don't they? But aren't they mental when they're going through it? Huh? Don't they make you a mental while they're going through it? Don't we all need the great physician, and aren't we all weak and puny? Yeah, I think so. It doesn't pay to do too much bragging about how high you are in God. I'm sure not going to do that. It's about the time you fumble and fall is when you start bragging about where you're at. Well, where you're at is hidden in Christ and God. And while you're down here, you're going to have infirmities. But the Bible says rejoice in them when these things take place. Right? Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody?
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was episode 254, The Conclusion, Part 2. If you missed Part 1, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes. Within those show notes are scripture links, so be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for Part 1 and every Sunday for Part 2. Next Friday's message, sons. Have a great week. God bless you.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times they are a-changing.